Real joy to see each and every one of you here where you can hear the Word of God. And I trust your hearts will be blessed as we have a message this morning. My heart has already been blessed through the songs and through the singing. Now, as you heard tonight, I'm going to be showing some slides. The message and the slides will tie in very nicely with Memorial Day. I don't think you'll find it boring. I've shown these pictures at a number of places in the past year, and some people get very excited and want to see them again. So we urge you to come back tonight at 6:30. And enjoy the slide presentation. My wife and I made a trip to Europe just a year ago. We visited beautiful Scotland, historic England, picturesque Germany, the Ardennes Forest in Belgium, and then we took part in the D-Day commemorative ceremonies in Normandy. And there are some very interesting countries in this world, and I have discovered one that is better than America. This land we live in is very beautiful, very bountiful, beloved and blessed land, but I've discovered a country far better than America. It is a country called heaven, Emmanuel's land. And I'd like to speak to you this morning about heaven and how to get there. By the way, the best way to spell heaven is H-O-M-E, home. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a pilgrim in this world. You're just passing through toward your heavenly home. And someday we'll be there. Now, I think it's real good to get our minds off of the trouble and turmoil and strife and sorrow that we have in this world and think often about heaven. Someone has said that some Christians are so heavenly minded they're of no earthly use. But I don't believe that's true. I believe that we should not always have our heads in the clouds and not have our feet on the earth. But I believe that if we are heavenly minded, thinking about the Father's house, yea, thinking about God, that we're going to be blessed in our souls, we're going to be pleasing to God, and we're going to be a blessing to others, and we will be of practical use. So we say again, it's good, beneficial for the soul to think often about heaven. Now, speaking on this subject up in Georgia several years ago, and I asked my audience how many wanted to go to heaven someday. And do you know what? Everybody in that congregation put their hand up. That didn't surprise me. Then I changed the question a bit. I said, well, how many of you want to go today? And only two or three put their hands up. What does that indicate? That we have a real love for life here in this world, that we have a love for loved ones and we don't want them to suffer the pain of separation, or perhaps are we not too sure of going to heaven? Well, I think the good attitude or the proper attitude is what expressed by the Apostle Paul. Remember in the book of Philippians, he expressed the desire to be with Christ, which is far better, And yet he wanted to stay here and serve the Lord, minister to others. And so I believe that's a good attitude to have. We want to go on home to heaven, and yet we want to stay here and bring glory to the Lord's name, be a blessing to others, yea, and urge others to join our band as on to heaven we go. Now, another point before we get into the message. I noticed a Gallup poll, a survey of public opinion taken several months ago, indicated that 97% of the American people believed there was a heaven. That sort of surprised me. Doesn't mean that everyone's going to heaven. In fact, as I've talked to people over the years, I would venture to say that only about 7% of the American people seem sure of going to heaven. So many will tell you, well, I hope so, or I think so, but you don't find too many who say, I know so. And dear friend, this is an assurance God wants us to have. We're not being presumptuous when we say we know we are going to heaven. We can be 100% sure of it because of the eternal value or efficacy of the blood of Christ and because of the unfailing promise of God in His Word. He says that the one who believes on His Son, the Lord Jesus, will go to heaven, and God cannot lie. But you know, it should not surprise us that so many people believe there's a heaven, because God has put that intuition in our hearts that there is an eternity or a hereafter. He has put eternity in our hearts. And if you go around the world and study the different peoples and their religions, you'll find out that they all believe in a hereafter. Now, some of them are really mixed up on it. Some of them have some fantastic conceptions of the hereafter. But the American Indians, you know, spoke about the happy hunting ground, and the Japanese people speak about the plain of high heaven, and the Muslim people, they speak about heaven, they call it paradise. And speaking of fantastic ideas about heaven, their idea of heaven is the saints reclining on green couches with green pillows. They must not have much green where they live. Then they have plenty of fresh fruit to eat and flasks of wine and wide-eyed maidens waiting on them every hour. That's their idea of heaven. Well, heaven is not only in the hearts of men, but it's in the Word of God. Now let's turn to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Heaven and how to get there. John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one comment there. The thought comes to mind that when you love someone, you want to be near that person. And it's a joy to know that the Lord loves us and he wants us close to himself, and he's coming someday to receive us unto himself. He wants us very close to himself. Now, Revelation chapter 21 for a few verses. That's the next to the last book in the Bible. The next to the last chapter in the Bible. The last book, the next to the last chapter, Revelation 21, verse 4, where it says, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And verse 27 says, And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And verse 3 of the last chapter, 3, 4, and 5. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, as to an outline. First of all, where is heaven? Then, what is it like there? Third, when will it end there? Fourth, who will be there? Five, why can we be there? And finally, how can we get there? First of all, where is heaven? Well, as far as the longitude and latitude in this universe, I do not know where heaven is. In fact, the Bible tells us that there is a heaven, but it does not tell us where it is. It indicates plainly that it's a place as well as a condition, but doesn't tell us where heaven is. We do read that heaven is up above and beyond the stars, and beyond man's mortal reach. That is, man in his mortal body cannot find or see heaven. You know, a number of years ago, a Russian cosmonaut went out into space, and when he came back, he boldly asserted that he saw no heaven or no God out there. In other words, indicating that there was no such thing. Now, the poor man, he knows better now, because sometime after that, he took a much longer trip. He died. But we say again, we don't know where heaven is, and yet it can be, maybe just a few years away from some of us, or just a few days away from us. It can be just a step away. Because if we're believers in the Lord Jesus, we can be in this old world one moment and in heaven the next. And someone has well said, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. I have a newspaper column each week that I write, and some time ago I had the question, someone saying, I believe we have our heaven or hell in this world. What do you think? And I says, well, I believe the same to a degree. That is, people who live in sin, who leave the Lord out of their lives, they get into such misery and sorrow that it's an earnest of what is to come in eternity. And at the same time, those who know the Lord have a sweet foretaste of heaven as they have the Lord with them. Fanny Crosby expressed it so well. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Now our second point, the one we'll spend the most time on, what will it be like? Well, you know, actually, the Bible gives very little detail about heaven and what it's going to be like. Perhaps because our finite minds could not really comprehend it. And you remember the Apostle Paul was caught up into heaven, and he would not speak about it, that third heaven, because, well, as he said, he could not speak unutterable words. In other words, it just cannot be expressed in human language. Our finite minds cannot grasp it. Supposing you went down to South America and to the Amazon. There you found natives who know nothing in their lives except the sky and the trees and the river and the fish and the snakes and the dogs and the huts and so forth. And then you want to tell them about America with its modern modes of transportation. Just try to tell them about television, how you can see and hear someone speaking 3,000 miles away, right in your living room, right in your hut, as it were. Or start telling them about the sophisticated medical equipment we have and the medical miracles that take place. Try to talk about the big cities and the highway system and all that. And the modern automobiles, well, they wouldn't know what you were talking about. They couldn't relate to it. And perhaps that's one reason there's not much in the scripture about heaven. But though there's not much positive as to details, there is something negative. We do learn from the Bible that things that are going to be in the infernal realm are not going to be in heaven. And things that mar this temporal scene now are not going to be in heaven. For example, there's going to be no sinners in heaven. No sin will ever raise its ugly head up there. There'll be no rebellion. No enemy shall ever invade. No defilement will ever enter in. No filth will ever be found in heaven. No evil will ever creep in. You know, when I first came to know the Lord about 38 years ago up at Fort Benning, Georgia, I was sort of mixed up for a while as I associated with some Christians who believed you could lose your salvation. And I used to think, well, even if I did make it to heaven, maybe after 10,000 years I'll be put out. Well, I found out that the believer is safe and secure as God can make him. And I found out that when we get to heaven, we're going to be like God's Son. That is, we're going to have bodies fashioned like unto His, and we're going to have His moral and spiritual likeness, and it will be impossible for us to sin. We're going to be perfect. Hallelujah. You know, we have positional perfection now. God sees us in all the acceptability of His beloved Son, and we're perfect. And then there should be practical perfection. That is, we should become more and more like God's Son as we live here on this earth. And praise God, someday we'll know ultimate perfection when we reach heaven. Well, I sort of got off the track there, but my point is, there's going to be no sin in heaven. There's going to be no night there, no curse, no thirst. There's going to be no tears in heaven, no death, no sorrow. You won't find one sad countenance in heaven. There's going to be no crying. There's going to be no pain, not a headache, not a toothache, no arthritis, no accidents, no sickness. There's going to be no fever. There's going to be no lame, no blind. There's going to be no nurses, no doctors. I made that statement once in a meeting. There's going to be no doctors in heaven. And there was a doctor sitting in the audience, and I saw his eyebrows go up. And I said, I'm sorry, brother, no services will be needed up in heaven. And there's going to be no jails, no prisons, no cemeteries, no funerals. Not going to have any locks on the doors and windows in heaven. There's going to be no war, no bloodshed, no strife, no hatred, no poverty, no taxes. There's going to be no weariness, no loneliness. The birds will never hush their sweet singing, and the flowers will never lose their sweet fragrance. Now, why did I throw that last bit in there? For you to think about. Are there going to be any flowers in heaven? Are there going to be any birds there? Well, we know that it's going to be a place of beauty, a place of brilliance, a place of supreme blessedness. And it's going to be the land of no more. That is, those things that bring us sorrow and grief now will not be in heaven. Now, I often think of heaven, in a positive sense, as being something like a group of Christians coming together for a meeting. What do? When we come together, often we worship. We may see the Lord as we're singing a hymn, or even having the gospel preached and hearing about the cross of Calvary, our hearts might just flow out in worship and praise to God. There is one meeting, the Lord's Supper, which is especially characterized by worship. We survey that wondrous cross. We think of the love of the Lord Jesus. And then we begin to love and adore and worship Him. You know, that's a sweet foretaste of heaven. Because up there we're going to see Him face to face. We're going to see the nail prints in His hands. And then our hearts are going to flow out in unhindered worship. Heaven is going to be the enjoyment of God. Yea, we're going to enjoy and glorify God forever and ever. You know, I believe everyone's cup is going to be full in heaven. We know contentment here in this world when we're Christians, but we never know true satisfaction. Remember the psalmist said, when I awake with thy likeness, I shall be satisfied. And that's when we're going to be 100% satisfied. Everyone's cup will be full, but there's going to be a difference. Some will have larger cups, or a greater capacity to enjoy and glorify God forever and ever. So, in other words, rewards. Men like the Apostle Paul and John and Peter and so forth, they're going to have a greater capacity to enjoy and glorify God. But I believe that's what heaven is going to be, the enjoyment of the Creator, worshiping Him. Another thing we do when we come together is we fellowship. We hold things in common. We share together. But you know, oftentimes here on earth, Christians sometimes have those things that mar their fellowship. They have some friction. But someone has written these words, to dwell with saints above, oh, that will be glory. To dwell with saints here below, oh, that's a different story. But you know, up there, praise God, there's going to be no friction. We're going to have the sweetest fellowship that you can imagine. 10,000 times better than it ever has been on earth. Then another thing we have when we come together is learning. We learn about God. And I believe up in heaven, we're going to learn something of the wonders of creation, the wonders of redemption. And perhaps we'll have explained to us some of the inexplicable things that happened while we were in this world. We're going to learn. And then we're going to serve. Because we read there in Revelation, his servant shall serve him. And if 10,000 years from now the Lord says, go and do this, it'll be our happy privilege to do it, to serve him. But you know, beloved, if you're a Christian, now while the Lord is rejected in this world, that is the best time to serve him. Identify with him and tell others of him. And then finally, what we do when we come together is we sing. And I believe there's going to be singing in heaven. We're going to join in a chorus that never shall end. We're going to join with millions of angels and millions of saints singing unto him that loved us and loosed us from our sins. Yea, we're going to sing heaven's national anthem. You know what that is? Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And sometimes here on earth we don't carry the tune too well, or we might have a rasping throat, but up there everyone's going to be in perfect harmony, and we're going to sing with all our hearts and souls unto him. We're going to make this whole universe re-echo the praises of the Lamb. Ever heard a 90-voice choir sing the Hallelujah Chorus? Ever hear a 1,000-voice choir sing up there? Think, millions are going to be singing. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to be in that heavenly choir. Our time is getting away. Our next point, when will it end? And the answer to that is very simple. Never. Never. We'll never grow old up there. We'll never develop gray hairs or wrinkles. We'll never get sick or die. It's going to be a place of immortality. It's going to go on, praise God, forever and ever. Joy increasing day by day if they have days in heaven. And then, our next point, who is going to be there? Well, we know the Lord himself will be there, that the holy angels will be there, and all the saints down through the ages are going to be there, and loved ones that have gone on before are going to be there, and it's going to be a happy, blessed time of reunion. You know, sometimes when I see a Christian friend whom I haven't seen in a long time, why, you just start almost running toward him and you throw your arms around him. You're so glad to see him. And I think when we get to heaven and see those loved ones and friends who have gone on before, we're going to just, as it were, throw our arms around. Friend of mine was quite a friend. Every time he used to see me, which wasn't real often, he used to put $100 bill in my hand, and that was 20 years ago. Keep preaching the gospel, he'd say. Well, one day He asked me if we learned any new songs up at a Bible camp. And I said, yes, we learned this one. And I sang it for him at the table with his children, and we're soon all singing. Away far over Jordan, we'll meet in that land. Oh, won't that be grand? And we were all having a happy time. And I noticed on my friend's eyes, tears falling. The very next day, he found out he had leukemia, and in a few months, he said goodbye to his wife and children. But my friend John, I'm going to see him up there. And the words in that chorus say, if you get there before I do, look out for me, for I'm coming too. It's going to be a place of reunion. But now the big question is this. Who is going to be there? Are you going to be there? Are you 100% sure? Oh, friend, life is short. In fact, life is uncertain. You could be here one day and gone the next. But don't take the chance of missing heaven. Be sure, be 100% sure that you're going there. Now, why can we be in heaven? We can be in heaven because John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Some time ago, I guess about a year and a half ago, that I took our son David back to the Marine base at Camp Lejeune. And you know, it was so hard to say goodbye to him because the next day he was going to get on his ship and go to Lebanon. And as you know, they were having trouble there. Marines were dying. And I didn't know whether I'd see David again. And so we had a hard time saying goodbye. And as he walked to the barracks and I stayed there in the car, I had to bow my head and cry. And I realized then how difficult it was for fathers and mothers too, in World War II and down through the years, to give a son for their country, for what they believed in. So many, as you know, in World War II received the telegram, "We regret to inform you, killed in action." But you know, God gave his son to a mighty battle. A battle at Calvary's cross. And someone has well said that the nails that pierced the Savior's hands pierced the Father's heart. God gave his son, and the Lord Jesus willingly came down from heaven and went all the way to that cross and bore our judgment against sin in full. And God has raised them from the dead, a victorious, triumphant Savior. Hallelujah. That's why we can be in heaven. He has settled the account. He has paid the price in full. He has finished the redemptive work. And now what must we do to get to heaven? How do we get to heaven? Speaking to some boys at a Bible camp up in Wisconsin last summer, and I said, how do we get to heaven? And one boy, his hand shot right up. He had the answer. Very simple answer. He says, you die. Well, there's more to it than that. Before you die, you have to be ready. In other words, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And what do to get prepared? We repent. We acknowledge that we are guilty, lost, helpless sinners before a holy God against whom we have sinned. We agree with God that we're sinners, and then we believe on his Son. My friend, God has made it simple. You don't have to lift a little finger to get to heaven. You don't have to join anything. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to bat an eyelash. I think someone, our brother mentioned J. Vernon McGee. He's often said that. You don't have to bat an eyelash or lift a little finger. That would be a work. That would be doing something. It's salvation by grace. With your heart you believe on the Son of God. I'm so glad God has made it so simple. In closing, let me see if I can make it even simpler than I have so far. A little over a year ago, I had some surgery, had a facial operation, and when I took off the bandage, a friend looked, and he says, well, he said, they did a pretty good job. They didn't mess up your good looks. And he wasn't too serious about that, but I was very serious when I said, did you know that I'm going to get to heaven because of my good looks? Then he stared at me for a while. Then he shook his head and said, no way. But I said, oh, but I am. Listen, first of all, I took a good look at myself, and I saw in the light of God's word that I was a sinner, deserving of his judgment. Then I took a good look at the cross, and I saw my Savior dying for me. And then I took a good look in the Bible, and saw that if I put my faith in Him, I'd get to heaven, because God cannot lie. And he says, well, I guess everyone then can only get to heaven by their good looks. And that's true, my friend. Take a good look at yourself. Oh, holy God, take a good look at the cross, and then take a good look in the Bible, and you'll see that through faith in God's Son, you'll get to heaven. Let's sing two verses of a hymn, shall we, brother? Number 613, and then you can dismiss us in prayer, but if anyone here, if you're troubled, you're not sure of heaven, I'd be so glad to come to your home or sit down here and talk to you so that you can be sure. God bless you. See you tonight. 613.